6 years ago, we believe in single payer. While we're going to fight to protect and defend the Affordable Care Act, because the Affordable Care Act is in advance on what we were before, our sights are set higher. We aspire to, a system where everybody's covered and everybody can go to the doctor. And that's what I believe the United States should have. We should join the rest of the world and cover all of our people.
Congressman Ellison, I want to thank you for being with us. Co-chair of the House Progressive Caucus, first Muslim member of Congress, yep. Deputy chair of the Democratic National Committee. That does it for our show. Our website's democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn from Henry Ford College. Now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. Local news for Dearborn and the surrounding area. News and views. Yes, we give some opinions, and might as well say up front that all opinions expressed in the show are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford College, faculty, staff, students, or administrators. My name is Jay Koronik. I'm station advisor here at WHFR.fm. Station making waves, and a lot of things happening in the news today, so let's get started. As we turn to the two print newspapers, Dearborn Press and Dearborn Press and Guide, I almost never have a copy of the print version of the Arab American News, because that usually is distributed around town on Saturdays each week, and this show is on Friday, so I just go to their website, and we got a couple stories from the Arab American News website. But in terms of newspapers stacked up in front of me here, from the Dearborn Press and Guide this last Wednesday, June 14th, because today is the 16th. Okay, in case you're listening to the podcast, you want to say, now, do I have the right podcast for the right week? Yep, June 16th, Friday, June 16th. And, of course, this will be on our website for additional review or a first-time listen after broadcast. So after 2 p.m. every Friday, the week's edition is there, as well as shows going back 7 years. I'm embarrassed to say that, but all my broadcast mistakes, not news mistakes, nope, or opinion mistakes. Oh, no, that would never happen. But, so you can go to our website, whfr.fm, click on the Talk Shows button in the center of the page, and then you have two choices. Not too difficult here. One says WHFR Journal, that's us, and the other one is Tuesday Forum, that's not us. You click on WHFR Journal, and then just select the podcast of the date that you want. So if you want to listen to today's podcast over again or recommend it to someone else, of course, that today's date is 6-16-17. Well, at the top of the page does say, two die after motorcycle slams into truck on Ford Road, that's tragic. Two people died. But why is it? These are the constant questions I have about such stories. Always a motorcycle accident or motorcycle death seems to get top billing, but not car accidents or car deaths, very rarely. I mean, is there a hidden agenda there motorcycles are unsafe and they want to emphasize that to everybody? That's just not true, folks. With two caveats. They do not say in the article, first of all, they don't say that the driver of the motorcycle had a motorcycle endorsement on his license. So did he go through the little training course? Did he pass that course at an appropriate Secretary of State's office? When I got my motorcycle endorsement on my driver's license, the only nearby Secretary of State office that had the motorcycle back lot where they had a little training course set up. Not on the streets. Nobody rode with you or next to you or whatever. It's a little back lot thing where you have to practice taking the motorcycle around, you know, and then stopping suddenly at the end whenever they cue you and hoping you don't fall off. I mean, that's something. It's not as good, I don't think, as a road test, but nonetheless. So did the driver have a motorcycle endorsement? Many people that ride motorcycles don't have that, but I don't think it's too difficult to get one of those. Secondly, were the two people that were killed on the motorcycle, the driver and the passenger, were they wearing motorcycle helmets? You know, there's bicycle helmets that look like motorcycle helmets, but they don't protect you as well at all. So not just any plastic helmet is actually endorsed as minimal protection for motorcycle riders. You have to get a motorcycle certified, safety certified helmet in order to feel that you have any protection at all. Seems to me this accident happened out of in front of the Ford drive-in, and the accident happened just after the Ford F-150 was leaving it. So that's what happened. The motorcycle hit a Ford F-150 pickup. Now, the motorcyclist could have been coming down Ford Road at a fairly good clip, and they don't know whose fault it was. Did the pickup, you know, just pull out quickly at 1 a.m. in front of them? What was happening there? So it could have been a substantial impact speed, 40 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour. And pickup is pretty big vehicle, pretty heavy, and so it's not like going into a brick wall, but still, it's not far from that. So those are my questions. Oh, and of course, although it's not required by Michigan state law, and I think it should be, there is a great Motorcycle Safety Foundation training course that is offered. In fact, they just completed several courses here at Henry Ford College. Every spring, we offer that as an extra class, not a credit class, but an extra class through Dearborn Adult Ed or somehow it's sponsored, and it's here. I know because I walk around the campus for exercise a lot of days each week whenever it's good weather, and I see them out there in that back lot. They've got a special course, but they're doing all kinds of circles and stops and speeds and acceleration, and they even do a few crazy things because I took this course too, okay, such as practice going over a 4x4 log and maintaining control of the motorcycle. Okay. Also, when I took it, they may have not included this anymore, we had to practice dismounting while the motorcycle was moving. Yeah, they would set it up so that you'd be going relatively slow speed in this case, and you would rise up on the pedals, push yourself off the back of the bike, because you don't want to go off to the side, before it runs into a brick wall. Okay, I'm not saying that two people on a motorcycle going 40 miles an hour can do such a thing, but in some other situations, it's always better for the motorcyclist, rather than hit something big and solid or be dragged along on the side, you know, of the motorcycle with your leg underneath or something, is just to get off the motorcycle, go backwards. And yes, I know you hit the pavement probably. But actually, it's safer than smashing into the big heavy thing or being dragged along underneath one side of the motorcycle. So, number one, I always question, why did the motorcycle accidents and deaths get the top headlines? They're tragic, but other people are dying too, you know, for all kinds of reasons. And why don't they give the full information here? And I'm not trying to cause any doubt about who caused what and who's responsible here, but I do want to know if the driver had motorcycle endorsement on his license, because that's required by Michigan law. Were they wearing helmets? Motorcycle safety certified helmets. You don't have to in Michigan. Our very wise state legislatures got rid of that requirement, which might give some people the idea that, oh, you don't really need it. By golly, you need a helmet. You need a helmet if you're just riding a bicycle. Yes, you do. Because you don't want to bang your head. No, that can cause all kinds of problems at different rates of speed, depending on what you hit your head with. So it's tragic, and it may not, the accident itself may not have been the fault of the driver or certainly the passenger, probably didn't have much to do with it. But what about the Motorcycle Safety Foundation course? Why isn't that certified as the only training course before you get that motorcycle endorsement on your license in Michigan? They could do that. It's the Motorcycle Safety Foundation, for gosh sakes, folks. It's a, you know, a nonprofit organization, and they've been doing these courses, the same course, probably improving it over the years from when I took it, 30, 40, 50 years. You know, it's taught at many schools. I think it's a public service. It needs to be done that way. In fact, every dealer that sells motorcycles should be recommending it. Maybe they do for first-time riders. It should be required, of course. And, of course, witnesses to this accident, which did happen 1 a.m. early last Sunday morning on Ford Road near Wyoming, in front of, I guess, the Ford drive-in. Witnesses to the accident are asked to call the police department's Accident Investigation Bureau at 943, this is in Dearborn, 943-2246, because they want to find out, you know, what happened there, who was responsible, and when. Okay, moving on. From the Press and Guide, Dearborn Heights School Board, and we just thought they got a superintendent. Okay, they had 24 candidates they interviewed, and they decided that one person, and we mentioned the name before, Jennifer Mast, as their new superintendent. Well, when they get to the board, which has to finally vote and say, you know, that the hiring committee did a good thing and we want them, the board was split. And one person was absent. And that could have made the difference, by the way. So now they don't have a superintendent. And the person out of 24 that they thought was going to be the best has not been hired. And they don't necessarily know why the people that voted no, voted no, according to the story, as I read it. Of course, the school staff, teachers, and community members are asking for answers. They're not getting any. Somebody said, we can't get a revote on Jennifer's contract, but we could do something called a reconsideration. That could only be done if one of the people who voted no requested. So you understand that? So reconsideration could be done out there. This is Dearborn Heights. And Mast has still got an interim contract that goes to the end of this month. So time is limited to act on filling the board's position, certainly. And that's very sad. You know, so hopefully something will work out over there. This is pretty crazy, I think, and I don't even know, you know, anything about the candidates. But we have to go from that to the situation here in Dearborn, because we're down one board member in Dearborn. Maryam Bazzi was appointed by Governor Snyder to be a judge, Circuit Court, I believe. And they were to meet this last Monday of this week, and after they did interviews, to vote on their choice. But here's the story. And Arab American News, I did print it out, but their stories don't print out. They don't make a printer-ready copy available on their website, and I really wish they would. So if anyone is listening, you know I do consult the Arab American News all the time, and we give you credit for really good investigative journalism and stories that are not covered in the other two papers, amazingly. Okay, but should be. And so I'm just a little suggestion there. It's very easy. Maybe nobody prints out from a website anymore, but I like the actual facts in front of me when I'm talking on the air. Now, I could go to their website. I've got a Mac computer right here I'm looking at. I could read it off the big screen, too, but I'm not going to do that. I have the story. So here's the story as far as I can figure out. Despite expectations from the community at large here in Dearborn, more than 100 people in attendance at the Dearborn Board of Education this last Monday, June 12th, they didn't appoint a new trustee. Instead, the board tabled the decision until this coming Monday, 3 days from now, at Henry Ford College. You know, they move the board meetings around, and usually when they come to Henry Ford College, they just talk about Henry Ford College things, but they wanted to get this person on board as quickly as possible. I think what might be called their constitution does say they have to do this within 30 days. They have to appoint a replacement for the school board, so they have a full group of people. Well, prior to the vote, a series of speakers took to the podium advocating for a particular applicant. None of the applicants received 4 votes, the majority sought by the board. The most applicants received votes, with another applicant receiving 2 votes. Trustee Hussein Berry opted not to participate in the process. He didn't say why. We talked about problems he had with the interviewing process last week, as far as we could tell. And last week we knew that he said, although it's a different issue, but that he wouldn't participate, I think, that he would not participate in the final vote. President Mary Lane and trustees Fadwa Hamoud and Michael Mead selected local businesswoman, and of course this didn't print out totally, I've got the last name, Nasser, as their choice to fill the seat, while trustees Jim Thorpe and Mary Petrikov chose former board member Roxanne McDonald. So we had 1, 2, 3. So 3 votes for Nasser and 2 votes for Roxanne McDonald. So nobody got the 4, which would be the majority of the board if everybody was there and voting. Initial voting started with Thorpe, who recalled being interviewed 2 years ago by the board for a then available spot. So it's a lot easier in that seat than up here. That is, as a full-time board member. Thorpe based his pick on the fact that the appointed trustee would only be seated until November 2018. Again, didn't print out completely, which is a very critical period. Between now and November 2018. He says, we've got some really big questions to make in that amount of time. He said, referring to the selection of the president of Henry Ford College, President Jensen has already announced that he is going to leave us at the end of next June 2018. So we want to have somebody else to be voted on and to take over next July, not this July, but next year. So he says, so experience is very important to me. Because of that, I believe Roxanne McDonald should be appointed. Mead says he supports Nasser because she is a, quote, product of the Dearborn Public Schools, unquote, is a substitute teacher and has children in the district. Also went on to say she has a master's degree in public health and a bachelor's degree in business administration. And so that's also Mead noted that recommendation letters from Bozzi and former trustee Joe Guido also played a role in his decision. Lane said Nasser is her choice because she has, quote, the written recommendation of the people who preceded her and the operational business experience. Petrikov says she chose McDonald because she brings 5 years of board experience to the table. She said the only reason McDonald left the board was to serve the community on a larger scale. She ran for representative in last year's primary, right? She didn't win. But she wants to volunteer her services still, and she wants to come back to help for the next year and a half. Yes, she did lose for state representative in that position. Of course, if you wanted to know, was finally won by Democrat Abdallah Hamoud. Okay, so that they don't have a vote, a decision yet, and there's going to have to be some reconsideration of how to get to 4 votes, or they won't have a full Dearborn Board of Education, Henry Ford Board of Trustees. Okay. Oh, it's state law that requires 30 days from the date of a vacancy. Or Wayne County RESA. Wayne RESA, the Regional Education Service Agency, will take it over, and they'll appoint a replacement. Take it out of your hands. So the Arab American News, in reporting that, which that story did not get into, maybe because the publication of the Times Herald and Press Guide is actually a date of Tuesday, so they'd have to have someone, actually a reporter, assigned to covering the Board of Ed on Monday who could get the story in before their publishing deadline on Tuesday, which is difficult, even for Katie Hetrick, I bet, who is probably there. And you'll probably read details on this in the Sunday Press and Guide, I would assume. But the story is not even on the pressandguide.com website today, just the Arab American News website. And here's their opinion. They actually have an editorial opinion written by their local editor of the Arab American News. And of course, we never, almost never, ever, ever in the last decade, I think, at least that far back, get an opinion written by the local editor of the Press and Guide or the Times Herald. They farm it out to other people, or they don't have anything. They have no opinion on the news. And who would better know the news than a well-informed journalism staff? But, you know, Press and Guide and Times Herald have no full-time staff of reporters. And they certainly couldn't afford extra time for the reporters to pay them well enough to do investigative journalism. So they're doing a lot of press releases. And that's unfortunate. But here we have an opinion, and I'm going to read it to you right now from the Arab American News about this story. And it's entitled, "Too Much at Stake for Dearborn Board of Education to Remain Divided." The inability of the Dearborn Board of Education to reach an agreement, appoint a new trustee to fill the spot vacated by former trustee and now Wayne County Circuit Judge Mariam Bazzi, disappointed many in this town. I'm filling in some words here because, again, the printout is not standard. And, of course, they mention who voted for whom, as I just told you. Their opinion is that Roxanne McDonald does not deserve the seat because she clearly chose not to run for re-election to the board this year in order to seek the position of state representative. She ended up losing that campaign to Abdallah Hamoud. So they're holding that against her that she wanted to try for a higher office. Do you think that's fair? I won't have an opinion on that. That's one point of view, certainly. Petrikov said that McDonald, quote, is volunteering her services to step back in with full board experience and that she's well prepared to move us through the next couple of years. And Arab American News editorial says, we disagree. Unfortunately, they disregarded a statement McDonald posted on her Facebook page less than 2 months ago. And they go on to say on April 25th, she said that her supporters encouraged her to run for the Dearborn City Council. But she chose representative because she wanted to devote more time to her family. She said, I cannot in good conscience pursue a seat on the council. All that goes along with running a campaign if I'm unable to put 100% effort towards that endeavor. If she believes, says the Arab American News, that she won't be able to give 100% effort as a city council member, then she clearly can't serve as a trustee on the city's school board. That's what they conclude. Although both are part-time positions, and I think there's less to do. I mean, it doesn't have to be this way. It all depends how much time you want to put into your part-time job. I have a part-time job here at Henry Ford College at the radio station. And to be honest about it, they are paying me a salary based on 12 hours of work a week. I'm usually here 30 hours a week. But that's the way I want to do the job. That's up to me to martyr myself. I'm not asking for extra money. First of all, college doesn't have it. I mean, they don't want to pay anyone near full-time. That's another story. I'm not saying I deserve the extra money even, but it all depends on how you want to do a part-time job, right? You can put either more time in or less time. It's up to you, even as a volunteer. And, of course, nobody makes less money in this society in a part-time job, I think, than a school board member. I think they have the lowest salaries on average across the whole United States of America, certainly of any elected position. But that's the opinion of the Board of Trustees, and they about the Board of Trustees by the Arab American News. They say the inability of the Board of Education to select a new trustee is not a victory for anyone. It's a defeat for Dearborn voters who deserve to see their elected officials make the tough decisions and not refer them to another body. They give some background here, which is interesting. They mentioned that there were some attacks on the Arab American Political Action Committee, and they say these are a distraction from the real issue in regard to appointing a new member. They talk about Barry's decision not to participate in the selection process, although they say Barry's decision to them, the Arab American News, was puzzling and inexplicable to the voters who elected him to make decisions, no matter how difficult they are. They say the decision to appoint Bazzi's replacement may be difficult, but it's an extremely sensitive and crucial one. And even Barry said, shame on people who let others divide them. And so they wanted him to step up and make a decision, both on interviewing and on the trustees, and he didn't. But they're going one step further. Talk about having a strong opinion, making recommendation. Arab American News says they urge Barry to vote for Roxanne McDonald because she was the 2015 trustee who did not give the beloved late former Imad Fadlala a chance to be interviewed for the position of superintendent after Brian Winston became superintendent when three other trustees, Amy Scholes, Marianne Bazzi, and Mary Lane, did. Ah. Okay. But they wanted to hold something against Roxanne McDonald. Yes, because she wants to be on the city school board now, but she didn't want to be on the city council. Well, that's okay. You can disagree on one and then recommend later. So that's, I don't think that's inconsistent. So there's also an undercurrent here of Arab American Political Action Committee recommendations and support. And if I can read this printout, which again is it didn't print out, not because I didn't do it, but it says selection process has been marred by a vicious social media campaign against the Arab American Political Action Committee. And its member, Ms. Nasser. AAPAC's detractors spread the false news that the political organization pressured board members and therefore, quote-unquote, rigged the process. And I think the editor of the Arab American News is on that committee, or very close to, and has a lot of friends with the committee, so he should know. And he is saying that these conspiracy theories were absolutely false. And even the president of the AAPAC has said that too. That's what's going on behind the scenes a little bit, folks. And it's good for you to know why that vote didn't happen in Dearborn. We're not sure how or why. There's no behind the scenes thought about what happened in Dearborn Heights and why they don't have a new superintendent yet. This is just a mere additional board member. And if they can't figure out by Monday, Wayne County will figure it out for them, for us here in Dearborn. Interesting story, huh? Okay. Well, one more story in our first half hour here. There's still another half hour to go after that. Look out. This is the new WHFR Journal for Friday, June the 16th, 2017. I'm your host, Jay Koronek. And here we go again. This is a story from the News Herald Downriver. It's about Lincoln Park. What have they done here? Downriver School District is paying for police officers to be stationed at two buildings. Last week we did a story about a bar in West Dearborn, Post Bar, I believe, Yes, post-bar. And was kind of forced upon them by city council in Dearborn, saying that because of disturbances and unruliness happening in and around your bar, especially on weekends, you need to hire the Dearborn police. Can't just assign them there as an extra cost to you, but you hire Dearborn police to patrol outside. And I'm not sure, I don't think they go inside the post bar, but to be on duty there anyway, and regulating things. And first the post bar said, no, we're not going to do it. And then the Dearborn City Council said, well, we'll take away your liquor license then, and you will be closed down. The bar can't operate without alcoholic beverages, of course. So they decided to pay for the Dearborn police officers. Well, now Lincoln Park, at least for a couple of weeks anyway, have been permanently assigned Lincoln Park police officers to the city's high school and middle school. Now, high school is, what, 3 years? In my day, it was 4 years, freshman through senior. Middle school, formerly used to be called junior high, used to be grades 6 through 8 only, maybe 6 through 9 now, depending on the school district. And, of course, sixth graders are, what, 12 years old? And if they're there for 3 years, they're 15 when they go on to high school. They need a policeman for protection, perhaps. And this is the story. I just think you ought to think about this, folks. Police officers are being paid by private institutions, public institutions, as security guards. I'm sure the security guard corporations, companies around town, don't like that trend because they'd work a lot cheaper. But they're not the official police, are they? And Lincoln Park says they did it to provide staff and students with someone they can lean on during an era of uncertainty. An era. Not just a day or two or a week or two, but an era. How long is an era? 2,000 years? I'm just wondering. Of uncertainty and heightened security. Ooh, yes, let's heighten all of our security everywhere. And you know, there's not that much crime. I'm sorry. There's not that much crime. It's true. Look at the numbers. I know a representative in Louisiana was shot and someone else was critically wounded too. But that's two. Count two. Okay? And it was a crazy who is, by the way, not a Muslim. And by the way, yes, yes, he had done some volunteer work for Bernie Sanders, but I just have to say here, because Bernie Sanders is getting razzed by Republicans, not razzed, but, you know, assaulted verbally. Oh, the Bernie Sanders supporter is trying to kill people. Bernie Sanders has never said anything about that, unlike certain other presidential candidates who finally won. Telling their followers what to do about the other candidate, which I thought bordered on, we're talking about Donald Trump, bordered on recommendation of violence to the other candidate. Bernie Sanders never, never, ever said that at any time. Okay, well, we got that out of the way. Thank you. So it's just another crazy, but we're 330 million people and counting here in the United States. We have an extremely low crime rate compared to all of the Western world. Extremely low. And it's getting lower all the time, in fact. In spite of these couple of incidents, the numbers of serious crimes has been going down and down and down for the last 10, 15 years, both nationally, statewide, and locally in this area. There are some individual cities that have had a rise in crime, like Chicago, no names. But that's the way it goes. Okay, some places are the exception. But if you add all the numbers together, we're safer than we ever have been. But it's only because of social media and people constantly checking their emails and their Facebook page and listening to too much cable TV news that has nothing else to do. They got to fill up 24 hours a day, right? What do they talk about? They got to find something. So you hear the same stories over and over again in every point of view and every crazy, mad person and out of control. So the average person thinks there's a lot more crime going on all the times than there really is. And by a long shot. Okay, these are the facts, Jack. You know, I'm not asking you to do the research, but myself as a telecommunication instructor, I've done the research. I know the facts. That's why I try not to talk about crime stories here on WHFR Journal at all, because it'll give you the idea there's a lot more crime than there is if I add any more to what is already out there, and there isn't. Now, caveat here, I think I've been able to get the police chiefs in the various local cities to admit there is more petty crime or misdemeanor crime. And you'll see it all the time. If you go to the Dearborn Press and Guide website, because they don't have any reporters, they have to grab stuff from the so-called police blotter. Ooh, big story on pressandguide.com. Somebody got their wallet stolen. Yeah, one of the top stories of the day. One person got their one wallet stolen. All this petty crime. Yes, there's a little more of that. And there it is, right in your face. So you think, oh, there's terrible crime going on. Well, petty crime has always gone on, but it's true there's a little more of that. And very often, misdemeanor crime can be drug-related, you know, caused by people needing drugs or buying drugs or killing for drugs or whatever. Not killing, because it's petty crime I'm talking about here, right? And of course, that's got to be prosecuted, and there's jail penalties for drug crimes. But so there is an increase in drug-related crime, but it's usually misdemeanors. Okay, it can be a cause, of course, felonies. But felony crime, serious crime all across the U.S., including murders, shootings, okay, is down, very low, and it's getting lower every year. So we're safer than we ever have been. So don't give me this story, Linkin Park. An era of uncertainty and heightened security. That's just patently false. You're playing to a few people who watch too much cable TV news and don't see the actual facts. I'm sorry. In fact, we've got a WHFR staff member, I think, that works in Lincoln Park school system. And there's nothing wrong. This one officer is here. He's got great tattoos on his arms, and he's smiling. And we love people like that, and I'm sure he's doing a great job there. And nothing wrong with the individuals involved in this. I'm not saying anything about that. But it looks like the school thinks that if there's any crime problems, that if they have a friend in the police force, they can easily go to them and talk to them, and it'll be better for everybody. And prevention is better than having to punish after the fact for whatever. And of course, if somebody does come in with a gun or something, you've got a person with a gun. The police officer is carrying a gun, of course, and licensed to do so, and they practice regularly to protect the school if they can. Although I think if somebody knew that there was a police officer in the school, which again, we're talking just one officer in each school, that they would head to that police officer and shoot them first. I'm just saying, if they knew anything about what they were doing, weren't too crazy, they would eliminate the police officer first and then continue to shoot and kill. Sorry about that, but there are crazies, as I said, but there's not that many. Fewer than ever before. So is that a good trend or bad? I'm raising it as an issue because I think certainly the people of Lincoln Park who are heavily into that should be concerned about looking at all the pros and cons of that. And again, the individual people, the individual officers are said in this extensive story here. It's in the newsherald.com website today. They all sound like wonderful people, and they're doing a great job. And how much is it costing? Well, it's probably costing the full salary, I would assume, of the police department. I'm not sure how they're splitting up the cost. The article doesn't say. But they're posting these officers there full time. And it does say they're paying for them. I just don't know how much they're paying. Are they paying for the benefits and the pension? Or are they paying just some percentage? It doesn't say. Will this continue to be a trend? Is Dearborn going to get police officers assigned there? Fairlane Town Center has their own security force. We're pretty responsible and pretty significant presence, too. I'm sure that they're fairly well-trained, although they may just be all part-time people. I don't know about that. Some of them are probably full-time there. And the Dearborn Police do respond extremely quickly when called throughout anywhere in Dearborn. Even if they need a SWAT team, they get those people very quick. So what do you think of that trend? Raise the question. You've got to talk to your friendly board members and before it gets out of hand. I mean, what kind of world do we have if we have a government police force in every school building? First of all the security guards are out of work, but full-time police in every building, every school building, and for that matter, why not every public restaurant, public bar, public shopping center? I mean, these are the professionals, right? But like, what kind of a heavily policed society, all beholden to the government? Now, do we have? When, and the bottom line here is, why do we move towards that when there is no actual cause? Well, there's threats. Yeah, well, how many threats can you think of? If you spend a lot of time thinking about threats, there's a lot of threats. There's a threat of an asteroid hitting us, but police won't do any good about that. Okay, I mean, calm down, everybody. Calm down. I thought, I have to say, that Democracy Now!, you know, is the great Monday through Friday show that we only carry on Fridays here on WHFR from noon to 1 o'clock, and it's new every Friday, and we're happy to rebroadcast it to you just a couple hours after it originates, thanks to our affiliation with Public Radio Satellite Services. But they had several representatives from Native American organizations on, and today's show. And by the way, if you missed it, and you can always listen at democracynow.org. Everything is archived there, and you can even watch a video version of it and see Amy Goodman herself, along with her guests, in the video version. But democracynow.org. But I just thought, Native Americans, what have we done to them? We've taken away their country. We've taken away their land. We've taken away their rights. We gave them reservations, almost like confinement camps in a way. I know they're free to leave and so on. Taking away their culture. And I could go on and on. And now they're just trying to preserve their own health and environment on their own land, what's left of it for themselves. And these two representatives talked about the success of a court injunction that may prevent that pipeline, which just got into operation because Donald Trump signed a bill saying he didn't even read it. He's just going to sign it, you know, get it done. Okay, $3.8 billion pipeline, but with the chance of poisoning all the land and a lot of the Missouri River, too, if it leaks. And it's already leaked even in some of their tests. So the courts did, I think, the right thing after looking at all the facts, and they said, wait, you've got to do an actual real environmental survey based on the people that are living there and the danger to the people, not just changing soil samples or something. And what I wanted to say was the two representatives from Native American groups that are trying to preserve the integrity of their people and their health of their lands, what's left of them, were calm and quiet and rational. Politicians take note. Politicians take note. This is the way. It's not the strong, solid approach. It's the strong approach, but it's the quiet approach that you have to keep working, too. You can't let anger get in the way. You've got to keep working. You have to keep moving forward. Every option, yes, civil disobedience in some cases, getting arrested, as one of the gentlemen experienced for a misdemeanor on his own land, getting arrested. But quiet, calm, and rational. Role model there, I think. Okay, moving on. It's 17 minutes to 2 o'clock here on the new WHFR Journal. We can get to a couple of events. Probably should move away from this high-content stuff, which is troubling, you know. It concerns all of us. What matters to you most should be what's right next door in the local community, because you can have the greatest impact on resolving the problems or going in a new direction. That can't happen necessarily at the state level, and usually not at all at the national level. But yes, you're not powerless, especially for improving your life of your local community. Remember that. Yalla Eat, if they still have any tickets available, I know it's $40 for museum members and $50 for non-members, but the Arab American National Museum on June 20th, and 16 and 3, so this is Tuesday from 7 to 10 p.m., upcoming Tuesday. There'll be a special Yalla Eat tour with food and looking around, walking around the East Dearborn community. I know they have a couple different Yalla Eats. They both have a Warren Avenue and a Michigan Avenue walking tours, and they're on a hiatus during Ramadan. Those will resume on July 1st on Saturdays. But this one is a Tuesday, and it's a special program with informational segments, and it'll be a great experience to find out about the many ways the Dearborn community, from businesses to households, function differently during the month of Ramadan. And so it's very special. If you're interested, of course, you need to go to their website. You can probably buy tickets in person at the Arab American National Museum, of course. And it should be a really special experience. Of course, other special experience this week, tonight, 8 p.m., tomorrow night, 8 p.m., and Sunday at 2, Almost Maine. It's the performance of Henry Ford College Theater, the romantic comedy, which we talked to the people about last week. Here's something interesting. The Press and Guide and their competition, the Times Herald, has the same story about Almost Maine. And it's a big recommendation, positive story. So try to come here to the Adria Auditorium in the Mackenzie Fine Arts Center on the main campus, Henry Ford College, and catch the play. It's interesting, Sue Suchita is now, I guess, working for both papers. They have the same story exactly in both papers. Why do I get both papers? Is this going to be a trend? They have the same reporters and the same stories in both papers? Are they getting ready to merge papers? And Sue Suchita is a great writer on theater, and she's written some other stories too. But there you go. Tickets are $15 to Almost Maine. $3 discount per ticket for senior students and HFC employees. With proper ID, of course. And hope you catch that play. I'm not going to be able to catch it this weekend. It does skip a week and then comes back the week after next. So it'll run June 29th to 30th and July 1st at 8 p.m. And then July 2nd. Oh, at 8 p.m. and then July 2nd, which is a Sunday, at 2 p.m. So the second weekend is not going to be, this is the first weekend, not next weekend, but the weekend after that, it's coming back at you again, and you'll be able to catch it then, too. It should be a great experience, high-quality work, and an up-close black box setting, and it should be a lot of fun, very entertaining. I know you've never heard of the title before, but Almost Maine has won a lot of awards, and it's a great acting vehicle, and there's a lot of great people, actors and behind the scenes, that are putting this on here at Henry Ford College. Also this weekend, Father's Day weekend, is somewhat typical, I guess. Yes, it is. Henry Ford Greenfield Village. Okay. The Henry Ford And at Greenfield Village, they're holding the annual Motor Muster. So it's a lot of classic cars. I guess some are antiques. I'm not sure how you want to look at that. But over 400 muscle cars, pony cars, glamorous classics, military vehicles, fire trucks, motorcycles, and more. Still dating from the 1930s through the 1970s. Special tribute this year to the 50th anniversary of the Pontiac Firebird, which doesn't exist anymore. So it's kind of difficult to have an anniversary and say it's the 50th year. But maybe it's the 50th year of the beginning of the Pontiac Firebird as a model, 1967. And so it's a little expensive for a single visit, $27 for adults, $24.50 for seniors 62 and up, and $20.25 for youth 3 to 11. Children 2 and under are free. But of course, it's a nonprofit organization. The Henry Ford is a nonprofit. And I would highly recommend that if you have a family, significant others, get one of the family passes or even a single pass for yourself for a whole year. It's a lot cheaper, and there's a lot of things going on all the time, and you'll be more likely to go over there and check things out and make use of their gift shop and their movie theater and so on, where you get discounts if you're a member. Check into that. By the way, they're also having music at the Henry Ford tomorrow night. Motor Muster until 9 p.m. They usually close at 6, I thought, in the past. But they're going to have G.I. Jive, Big Band Swing, featuring Paul King and the Rhythm Society Orchestra. It's the Andrews Sisters-inspired Satin Dolls Trio also. And 40 Era Dancing taking place at 7 p.m. on the Main Street stage. So it's going to be outdoors. So that's Motor Muster this weekend, Saturday and Sunday only, at the Henry Ford Greenfield Village. They have a big turnout for that, really do. So you want to get an early start. I forget the hours, but check on it at their website, thehenryford.org. All right. What else do we have? Oh, too late for that. Oh, my goodness. Well, you're going to hear more about this and Kitty Love Show, certainly, but I want you to know about this, too. WHFR, we have a big fundraiser. He said, didn't you just have a fundraiser? We always have to have a fundraiser. Okay, we are ordering a new studio telephone system. It's costing more than we expected, almost $5,000. We've checked that out. It's compatible with the college system. You know, it's very difficult to get phone calls. We had no phone dialing in even for 4 days this week, believe it or not. Not our fault. That was the college fault, believe it or not. But that's fixed. But we can hardly answer our phones here at all. And we've got to put the money out because we want your calls. We want you to win prizes and, call in and win the prize. Well, it's difficult now for us to answer the phone at all because the actual unit doesn't, the buttons don't work. And these are all special purpose things. And they cost a lot of money. And so our pledge drive back in April did bring us, thank you very much, a little over $8,000. But it turns out we can't get a new remote broadcast unit yet. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that we can do Concert of Colors and Dearborn Homecoming with our old unit. Because the new units for our studio, which we are trying to order this week, and we might have them in place in a couple of weeks, are costing almost $5,000. And there's other costs, too. I won't go into it here. It's not a pledge drive. But I'm just saying a great fun event is coming up, and it's a week from Sunday. Hope you can come down and be with us at Hastings Street. Here is the promo. Get up.
Please join WHFR for summertime fun with great music, good food as WHFR.FM. Independent non-commercial radio 89.3 and the Detroit Blues Society present Ladies Sing the Blues at Hastings Street Ballroom, 2 p.m. till 6 p.m. on Sunday, June 25th. Thornetta Davis. Now you're working hard all week just to pay your bills. You got enough to cover two drinks and Eliza Neals with special guest Howard Glazier. Trying to put a jinx on me. I wear an evil eye so you can't even see. Got your number, got your plan. I'm a voodoo woman with a cross in my hand. Voodoo woman with a cross in my hand. And Alicia Marie. Ladies Sing the Blues on Sunday, June 25th, 2 p.m. till 6 at the Hastings Street Ballroom, 715 East Milwaukee in Detroit. $15 general admission for adults 21 and over. Smoky Roads Barbecue and beverages also available for extra costs. Please join WHFR for Station Making Waves.
And this is the new WHFR Journey you're listening to, and we're going to be down there, and 2 to 6 p.m. a week from Sunday at the historic Hastings Street Ballroom in Detroit. Check it out online if you'd like to. And just a great blues show and great barbecue catering service, too, that's going to be available for the extra cost. There's $15 a person and extra cost for the food. Not too expensive. It is 21 and over, though, because there will be a cash bar, the venue has to make sure everybody's at least 21. Hope to see you there. All right, I'm looking at the city of Dearborn as we finish up the show today in the last 5 minutes. Their newsletter that just went out this last Wednesday, and I highly recommend if you have an email at all, go to cityofdearborn.org website and get on their list. It's the way to get this information in some great detail, okay, right to your computer or your phone or whatever you got that's connected. Dunworth Pool is hosting a swim meet this weekend. All neighborhood pools open this weekend, so go get your swim pass, folks. And if you've got a pool nearby, what a great way for kids to get some exercise and practice their swimming, too. Dearborn's Bike Share program has been launched already. Donation by Beaumont, the Kosch family, and it's K-O-S-C-H family. And that's great. A company called Zagster is the one that's organizing the bicycles, and they're placed in various places around town. There's 10 stations throughout downtown Dearborn. Of course, the negative side of this is I don't want to put it down because they've had a lot of success with a bike share program I've read about in the Metro Times this week in Detroit. But guess what? Detroit has bike lanes. Yes, Detroit, can you believe it, has bike lanes on many places like Michigan Avenue. Yeah, just east of us, though. We don't have bike lanes on Michigan Avenue, but they got bike lanes in Detroit. Go figure. Okay, and they're having a lot of people ride these bikes. Now, apparently, their system, you say, what does it cost? Because you have to pay to borrow the bike from a rack and then put it back somewhere, either the same rack or a different rack, I think. Well, in Detroit, it's $8 a day that they talked about. But it says something about 30-minute rides in the Metro Times story. So I don't understand what that is. You can only ride for 30 minutes, but you can come back again and ride another 30 minutes because you bought a day pass for $8. Well, anyway, they have weekly, monthly, and annual passes for their bike share in Detroit that you can sign up for. Zagster, what it says here in the newsletter, has a program where an annual membership is only $20. If you sign up early, though, go to Bike Dearborn. Use the promo code Bike Dearborn. You get a 50% discount, which means only $10 for the first year. Members receive the first 2 hours of each ride free and a $2 fee for each hour afterward up to $20. Oh, so you have to be a member, and then they're going to charge you more money. Oh, well, as long as you don't do more than 2 hours each day. I think it's each day. Anyway, the problem I have is where the bike paths in Dearborn. To all the shopping, to all the businesses, not for recreation. There's a lot of places in Dearborn you can ride your bicycle for recreation and fairly safely. But to try to get somewhere where you need to go, to a bank, to a post office, to a grocery store, to work, you don't have any bike pass. And I know the city is trying to work on that. Dave Norwood talked to us a couple months ago, but he's our sustainability coordinator here in Dearborn, and they got plans. Not for enough, not soon enough, but if you're just a tourist from out of town, maybe in East or West Dearborn, you might want to ride a bike around someplace for a while, and there's a Zagster bike that'll be there for you. So good luck with that. Eventually, it's a great idea. I understand a lot of people do that sort of bike sharing. It's very big in Paris. Can you believe Paris, which is almost like a New York City? It's not quite as big as New York City, but a lot of traffic, a lot of people, a lot of tourists. Their bike share program is really fantastically successful. And do they have bike pass? No, they don't. They've just got a lot of very brave people riding on the streets right next to the cars, but maybe the drivers are a little better mannered than they are here in the U.S. They respect bicyclists a little more in France, at least the last several times I was there. That was true. Okay, it is time now. I have to say goodbye because it's time for Highway 61 with Kitty Love coming right up. Best in the Blues until 4 o'clock today. And then Mike Holloway follows with his blues show, Go With the Flow, from 4 to 6 p.m. So take care out there, as I say every week. Don't go crazy. Don't get mad. Have fun. This is WHFR Dearborn.